As far as I could tell, I didn't pass any Pequot as I made my way to the Golden Dragon, a kitschy Chinese restaurant in the heart of the casino. Most of the guests looked like they had driven in from the suburban towns that surrounded Boston. Places like Revere and Sudbury and Waltham, where hairspray and wide polyester collars were still heavily in vogue. I did, however, observe a giant lucite statue of an American Indian standing proudly in the center of the building's main atrium. You can take the casino out of Vegas, but you can't take the Vegas out of the casino. Jill was waiting for me at a table in the back corner of the restaurant. She was picking at a plate of beef dumplings with a pair of polished wooden chopsticks. She didn't look up as I sat down, nor did she seem interested in trading pleasantries. Even though we hadn't seen each other in years, she wasn't going to waste time with small talk. Casual chatter might have fit with some of the characters she had played in the casinos, but in real life, Jill was one of the most directed people I had ever met. When she was at MIT and I was at Harvard, we both graduated the same year, we had been acquaintances but not friends. It was only years later that I learned to see through her hard exterior to the complex woman underneath. Even so, I never would have guessed that, like Kevin Lewis, she had lived a double life. Jill was the one who had first introduced me to Kevin, but she hadn't revealed his secret to me, allowing him to offer the story himself. When he finally told me that Jill and her husband had been two of his recruits, I realized that it made perfect sense. Jill was the last person you'd expect to find counting cards, which made her perfect for the team. "So, you're really going to write the damn thing," she said, jabbing a dumpling right through the heart. "You're going to make a lot of people nervous." I watched her brush red hair out of her eyes. "What sort of people?" "The casinos, first of all. The whole idea of card counting makes them nauseous. They like people to think that blackjack can be beat. It gets them to the tables. But they don't want people to know that blackjack really can be beat, because then they'd have to admit to all the un-American things they have to do to keep the game in their favor." She wielded the dumpling at me like a medieval weapon. "And the card counters won't be happy with you either. You're going to give away a lot of their secrets. And you're going to popularize the notion of team play, which will make it even more difficult to pull off." "I have to admit," I responded, "I never would have pegged you for a defender of something like card counting." Jill smiled at me. It took me a while to come over to the dark side. When Kevin and Fisher first presented the idea to Dylan, I wasn't thrilled. We had just gotten married and I was in my first year of business school. I didn't know Fisher. He and Dylan had met through a rotisserie football league. You know, where you create virtual football teams and bet on the outcomes. The football league was bad enough. With blackjack, I was afraid Dylan was going to get us involved in something illegal. But I looked into it thoroughly. I'm told the law is pretty clear. As long as you don't alter the outcome of the game, or use a mechanical device such as a calculator or a computer, the worst they can legally do is throw you out. "Still," I started. "I know, straight-laced, conservative, hard-ass business girl running around Vegas with a bunch of overeducated anarchists. But I found the thrill of the game almost as addictive as the field of consulting. The idea of going up against a huge corporation, finding ways to beat them in their own arena, it was a real high.